Just, okay, we're okay.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We are continuing our second lesson in the Rambam Hilchos Yontif, Perek Aleph, Halacha He, Chapter 1, Law 5, and in the Maznayim text,
180.
It's page 180 and 181. Talking about the general rules now about what melacha is allowed to be done on Yom Tov as opposed to Shabbos, and we said the main exclusions are carrying and cooking, which can be permitted under all circumstances, or using a fire for whatever purpose you want to use. And that's allowed, and any activity for food preparation. However, any other malacha that's used, not in that context, then you would get what punishment?
Lashes.
So on halacha, hey. Now we're going to get into the various details of the malachas that are there to make food. Kol malacha, page 181. This is what one of you guys mentioned yesterday. Any malacha for the preparation of food that could have been done on Erev Yontif, and it wouldn't have been a deficiency in it if you would have made it on Erev Yontif. In other words, it would taste just as good, just as fresh, or whatever. It's no problem to have done it early. It's not going to affect the food quality at all. So if it could be done on Erev Yontif, then the rabbi said you can't do that preparatory activity on Yontif itself, even though it is for the preparation of food. So here's a new qualification. Only the preparation of food is allowed if it's something that has to be done on Yontif. But if it could be done before Yontif and it's just as good, then the rabbi said you can't do it on Yontif. We're going to give examples in a minute. The lama asu dover. That's why the rabbis prohibit this. Let's do even the preparatory stuff that could be done before Yom Tov. I can't do it on Yom Tov. It's the preparation of food. The answer is there. The decree is because why? What's going to happen if a person can do all the food preparation on Yom Tov? What's going to happen? Shemini achadim malachas shev shalasa samer of Yom Tov liyom Tov. What's going to happen? The guy's going to leave all the jobs he could have done on Erev Yom Tov. He's going to leave them all for Yom Tov. And what's going to come out then? He's going to spend the whole day doing all the work to prepare the food from beginning to end. And that will hold him back from enjoying the yontif. He won't even have time to eat. In other words, you're going to spend the whole time in the kitchen. Yontif is not meant to spend the entire time in the kitchen. Okay, we want the food to taste good. All right, you can spend some time in the kitchen, but if once all activities can be done, then you're not going to end up really enjoying the Yontif. Therefore, the rabbi said, we have to make this demarcation between things that can be done on Erev Yontif and on Yontif. Okay, halacha vav, continuing this theme, again, we're on page 180 and 181. Umizeh ha-tam ha-atzman, for this reason, lo asra ha-tzah b'yontif, we did not forbid carrying on Yontif. You could say the same problem. Wouldn't carrying be something you could have done on Erev Yontif? You could have carried the food into your house. Why do you have to carry it from somebody else's house? Why didn't the rabbis prohibit carrying? Isn't that something you could do on Erev Yontif? The answer is it depends what you're carrying. Because sometimes carrying will increase Simchas Yontif. Why? It will increase your joy of Yontif. How will that? Because you can bring whatever you need. And he can finish what he needs. So it's like his hands aren't tied up. In other words, you know, I want to borrow cake from my neighbor's house. That makes life pretty easy for me. Right? That's not a big deal. So if you can't carry it, then you're stuck. What if you forgot something? Then you can't do anything. But shor malachas, but other activities, that could be done erev yontif, hov yesh bahen esek, since they take a lot of time. That's the thing. Now carrying does not take a lot of time, very quickly can get
done.
It
saves time. That's the point. It saves time for making it yourself.
Okay, we know we're not talking about big metropolises from, you know, be carrying from Thornhill to Lawrence. You'd be spending 2.5 hours caring. I mean, that's not the conventional understanding of caring. The simple caring is the neighbor's invited for a meal, and he comes over and brings the cake. You know, he finishes the cake in his house, so it's nice and fresh. He brings it over. If anything, that enhances the yontif. Caring doesn't take a lot of time. Now, doing all the preparatory things, you imagine sifting flour and all these other things and winnowing and all those other types of activities, that will take a lot of time until you're finally going to be able to prepare, bake the challah, let's say. That'll take a lot of time, but how much time can carrying take?
Well, what about
if anything, it'll make your yontif a much more enjoyable yontif than the opposite, as many ladies who have children will attest to. Right? Yeah. Question?
No, I think I've learned that if you, let's say you want to carry your talis home on yontif, and you don't really need it, and you could leave it here, you have a nice locker here, isn't
okay,
isn't
so that so again, it depends on, you know, again, we mentioned the idea of there has to be some tzorech yontif. So you have to define, is it a tzorech yontif? You're right. If you have a locker here, and you could leave it here, and you don't, and you're going to be back tomorrow anyway, and you could take it tomorrow, whatever. Yes, but a lot of times not.
What if you're going to be worried about it?
What if at Westmount? What about at Westmount school? You're going to leave your talus there. You can't leave your talus there. You leave your talus there, you won't find it next Shabbos.
Yeah.
So that it becomes part of the need is not to lose your talus. But you're right. So if you technically, but you know, not everybody's got a locker. Right, so it doesn't work out. But you're right. Some we said certain things that have nothing to do with the yontif need then is not carried.
How about the making food issue? Does that get further complicated?
We're going to give more examples in the next halacha.
I'm just going to ask, does it get further complicated because there's 2 days of yontif, so it's harder for it to be.
We're going to see. It's all coming up. We just touched the iceberg. We got lots of halachas.
The icing on the cake that we
the
can't
detail.
Make on yontif.
Yes, Ron.
Why the simcha that we have for the yontif, and I know it's a different type of focus on Shabbos, but it's still a type of simcha that we have and that we should feel. So why there is a distinction then?
Distinction between what, Shabbos and yontif?
Because of the leniencies for the yontif to the Shabbos. Like the Shabbos, we can't do these things, but the yontif.
Because Shabbos is a whole different.
But it's still a simcha that you're feeling, right, of the day.
I'm not getting the question.
Well, Ron's saying if Shabbos has simcha,
first of all, there's no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. Only mitzvah of oinig on Shabbos.
Which brings simcha.
No. Oinig is a different thing. And the Torah, Shabbos is you're in the world to come. The whole idea of Shabbos is totally different than Yom Tov. Shabbos is I've done everything. There's nothing more to do. I don't have to do anything else, and now it's time for me to absorb the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Shabbos. So now any activity that I do at all, that you know, in terms of making and building and cooking and this and that, takes away from that. The whole idea of Shabbos is Misha Torach Be'er Shabbos Yoichel Be'er Shabbos. Whoever works on Erev Shabbos will have what to eat on Shabbos. The whole point of Shabbos is not to do anything on Shabbos. That's not the point of Yontif per se. Yontif is a time where we really are very busy doing a lot of things. You know, you're busy shaking a lulav and esrog. You're busy with making a seder. Yontif has an action component. It's not sitting back and just enjoying the pleasure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, you'll get that too. You'll get, but that's not the whole component. Yontif, the whole idea of oil or regal, you have to go to Yerushalayim, you have to work. So there isn't now of course, certain activities that have nothing to do with Yontif, you shouldn't be doing. But anything that has to do with Yontif per se, right? So if I have to eat on Yontif, I eat enough. That's part of what the Yontif is about. So Yontif is not a total day of rest. It wasn't meant to be a total day of rest. And there is an extra point of having simcha. Specifically, the Torah says you should have simcha on Yontif. It doesn't say you have to have simcha on Shabbos. So simcha is simcha. And fresher food is a bigger simcha on Yontif. And we want the body to be very much pleased, and you could do work on Shabbos, on Yom Tov for that, because there's no idea of just saying, there's no idea who worked on Erev Yom Tov, who lead on Yom Tov. There is no concept for that. So therefore, Yom Tov is not so much as relaxing, so to speak, as Shabbos. Different fundamentals.
Yeah, we do say you should prepare for Yom Tov so you can enjoy Yom Tov.
But only what has to be prepared. What you don't have to do on Yom Tov. Because we don't want you to spend the whole day cooking.
Right,
you go to the extreme, you can spend the whole day cooking on Yom Tov, then there's going to be no Yom Tov.
I mean, even learning about the Yom Tov so that you can get pleasure from it and that sort of stuff.
So you do that too on Yom Tov.
You should do it before.
You should do before, but also on Yom Tov. But before as well, that's right.
There's one more.
Yeah.
So we have this principle, like you can't play a musical instrument on Shabbos or Yom Tov because you might break it, and then it might break it and you might fix it. Right? So it might lead you to do something. So the whole idea of the flame on Yom Tov that you can transfer, I mean, you might put it out and then might want to relight it. So why don't we apply the same principle?
Because we need the flame. You don't need to play music. You need to have light. You need to cook. You need light. You don't need to play music on Yom Tov.
Okay, but so
you don't need it.
But so many times
the rabbis make decrees where they feel the decree is reasonable. If the decree would be unreasonable, then it would be very hard. So part of Yom Tov is you have the Torah says do what you need to eat on Yom Tov. The Torah says it. So what do I need to do? I got to be able to use a flame. How could I eat on Yom Tov if I don't have a flame? So you're going to start making decrees. Then the decree is going against what the Torah says. Rabbis aren't going to go that generally, and with rare exceptions. They're not going to make a decree that goes the opposite of what the Torah says. The Torah says you could bedavka do things to make it for you to eat on Yom Tov. Well, one of the things is transferring a flame. If I don't have a flame, I don't have food. I don't have warm food on Yom Tov.
So
now the rabbis won't make a decree that I can't use the fire because I won't have the food on Yom Tov.
Because you can use it for food.
It's an integral part of what the needs of Yom Tov are.
And you can transfer it for light.
Yeah, and light is also an important thing. But you can live without playing a musical instrument, I think.
No, I understand.
You could argue it's simpler, but...
It's just a principle of you might do something.
So the rabbis know it's their right to make the decisions where it's appropriate to make the decree, where it's not appropriate to make the decree. If they're going to say, you can't touch any fire at all on Yom Tov, that means there'll be no lights, no warm food, no nothing. And now we've turned it into a Shabbos. The decree would make it Shabbos.
That's worse than Shabbos.
And Hashem does not want it to be Shabbos.
No, it's worse than Shabbos, because on Shabbos you have...
Well, Shabbos you can't
light.
Move any fire.
No, but you'd have the light.
But really you didn't, you know. But now that we have electricity, it's a different ballgame. You go back 500 years
ago. No, but Friday night you light candles so you have light.
And that was it, and there was no more light the next day, and not in the middle of the night.
True, but you wouldn't need light in the day.
Know, but
I'm just saying it'll be night.
But you need.
It's a second night
more
again.
Simcha. Okay, let's continue.
Yeah.
Where are we? Zion. Now we're going to have examples of what you can't do in terms of food preparation versus what you can do. Ketzad. So let's have an example of what the rabbis prohibited, some of these activities for food. Ein kolchim, you don't harvest. Below dushin, you don't thresh. Below zorin, you don't winnow. Below borin, you don't select. Below tochim, you don't grind. Esachitim, the wheat. Below meraktim, you don't use a sifter. Yom Tov. Don't do anything on Yom Tov. It's to prepare the food. Shekol Eilu, because all those activities, Ukiyetzim, are similar ones to them. Afshel Asosam Erev Yom Tov. You could do them all in Erev Yom Tov. It's not going to make the bread taste any worse. You know, if you have flour, anything that brings you to the flour stage, a bag of flour can sit for months. The chal is going to taste the same. And no difference than if you made the flour today. It doesn't matter.
Bread made from freshly sifted flour.
It doesn't matter. On the other hand, pasuk ches, halacha ches, avoloshin, but we need keyaneed, the oifin, and we bake, the shaychatin, and we slaughter, umevashim, and we cook biyontif. Why? Shim asa elu mibeerev, because if we would have done these on erev yontif, yesh bekach hevset, there's going to be a loss, or chesaron tam, or a bit of loss of taste. It does fresh chicken out of the oven is really good. You know? You know? I'm saying, you know, like...
No refrigerator.
If you ever bring a piece of meat right from Sobeys, from the meat section that's not frozen, you bring it out and you put it right on the grill, and you do it right then, it tastes a lot better.
So put this in the 9 days.
You take it out of the freezer and you defrost it and you this and you that. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. So no question about it. And if you, especially if you could shecht it mamish, you know, fresh fish.
That's how the animal is.
You know what I mean? It's like it does have a better taste, and there is an Indian on Yontif for the food to taste better. So therefore, you could even do those things that are necessary, right? Now it's interesting. The Ravid argues on this reason. He says, because if that would be the case, why couldn't we pick fruits off of a tree? Because he suggests a fruit picked right off the tree tastes better than one that was picked the day before. We don't hold like him, but that's an interesting opinion. Anyway, and he gives more examples around. Shein lechem cham otav shel shabishal hayom, because we can't compare fresh hot bread or a cooked dish that was cooked right now, kalechem shenefa meemish, like bread that was cooked yesterday, uketav shel shabishal meemish, or a cooked dish that was cooked yesterday it's now reheated. When you can't compare, can't compare meat that was shechted today, that was meat that was shechted yesterday. And all those other things. I remember in yeshiva, many, many years ago, you know, guys hated the chicken. You know, they hated it. You know, we called it getoivel to chicken. Chicken that went to the mikvah, you know.
Because it boiled.
It's boiled. My roommate once said, you know, the truth is, when she makes and comes right out of the oven, it's good. One time, my roommate, I don't know how he got in the kitchen early in the day, and he got a waiter, got him in, and they mom and she got a piece of chicken right when it came out of the oven. He says, you know, it is really good, but by the time we get it, it's been sitting in the fridge, and it's been reheated, and this and that. By the time you get it, it's been, who knows what's happened to it. It's the same idea. It's very interesting. You know, we've kind of lost a little bit of that. I mean, God bless our wives that they want everything to be ready on Yontif beforehand, and they don't have this thing against cooking on Yontif, but the food really isn't as good as it could be if they would cook it on Yontif. I'm not suggesting that they have to change, but I'm saying, like, many of the wives want to have everything cooked before the 2 days of Yontif, and they put it all in the fridge, and then, you know, Taka, when you're reheating it doesn't taste as good, you know. And okay, but maybe that's how they enjoy the yontif. They're not in the kitchen at all. By Sechois in the Rambam's day, there was a concept the wife should be in the kitchen, but you see, now they want to go to shul and all these other things. But the wives were very happy to be in the kitchen. At least from my mother-in-law, bless her soul, may she rest in peace. She was of the old variety. She didn't go to shul. What's she going to shul for? She says, I got to make lunch. You know, it was her pleasure to make the whole on yontif, especially. To make it, you know, fresh. The stove was on. That chicken went in the oven 10 o'clock Shabbos morning, and it was ready, piping hot by Yontif. It was ready 12:30, man. It was out of the oven, steaming, and it was the way it was supposed to be, right? And that is really enjoying the Yontif.
Rabbi's trash is too good.
Shouldn't go to rest.
I'm saying, even I'm like the goyim. I think the goyim do the same. Don't the goyim do the same thing? Like a lahavdil, their Christmas dinner. You think they cook it the day before, put it in the fridge, and then take the turkey out? Then they put the turkey in 5 hours before the meal, and they take it out right before the meal, and it tastes good, right? So there is this aspect that we want the food to taste good.
So maybe the fruit is harvesting. That's why you can't do the fruit.
Yeah, but if it's for eating.
But if a peach picked yesterday versus today.
Well, the Ravid contends it would taste better if it's picked
today.
It does
taste better.
I don't know. We have no idea. We're eating things that were picked months ago. We're eating food that's shechted a week ago. Like, when's the last time you ate some? Like, what's the only thing you could maybe compare if you catch a fish and put it right on the grill?
Yeah,
ah. You know, a little beer over it, right? Sauteed in beer, right? So that's a real good, tasty fish, because it's like it's freshly killed. It's like it was alive a half an hour ago. It's in your stomach now. I mean, there's a lot more energy there, right? So anyway, but that makes taste better. Similarly, v'chein end of halacha ches v'chein machshirei oichol nefesh, preparatory things for eating sheyesh ba'en chesar nimnas ba'erev. If you would do it the day before, it would be deficient. We also do it on Yontif. For example, Shchikas Tavon. Let's say you want to crush fresh garlic. Like, isn't it supposed to be? You put it in the garlic thing, right? And you turn it, right? And that makes it really gives the whole strong smell. So you could do that on Yom Tov if that's when it really, even though it's not really the food, it's just making the food better. It's not the chicken, it's just making it better. You could do that too, Kiyotzim, to do that right on Yom Tov. Tess. Yeah.
Because it said at the beginning of the halakha there that we could slaughter on the holiday.
Yes, you could. If you know how to shaft, you could do it.
You can kill on a holiday?
It's whatever is necessary to make the food better. It's for food, isn't it? You go to the chicken, take the chicken, if you know, in the old days, every good Jewish man knew how to shech the chicken, right? It was your Boy Scout skills, you know. You had to be a Jewish Boy Scout, you had to, probably had a whole list, you know, you have to be able to do a bris milah, be able to shech
never mind
the
knots.
You know, who cares about knots, right? So you shech the chicken. How long does it take? You shech the chicken, pluck the feathers, cut it up, put it in the oven, boom, a fresh chicken. Right, you got to salt it. Okay, salt it. Whatever. But that's fresh. Why not? That's all part of it. That's what Rambam says. Test. Now here, you can't cook and bake on Yontif specifically for what you will eat after Yontif. Right? You don't say, well, I'm going to cook a lot of chicken now because I want to have all the chicken ready for after Yontif. Because we didn't permit work for the needs of food, only for what you will benefit on Yontif. Now, on the other hand, what if he made chicken for Yontif, but he had leftovers? Then certainly, he could eat the leftovers, and you don't have to be so particular. Well, we have six kids in the house, I'm going to make exactly six pieces of chicken. Certainly, you don't have to do that, because it could be something, one, two, three pieces of chicken. You could certainly make 15 pieces of chicken and say, because I want everybody to have a variety to choose from. One wants a, I don't know how many want dark meat, one white meat, so I'll make sure that everybody can have a piece of each. And you may end up with five extra pieces, but that's not your problem, because this is part of the preparation of the meal. And therefore, in Halacha Yud, it continues with this theme. Therefore, what are we allowed to do on Yontif, even though it appears to be excessive, but it's still allowed, and we're going to see there's two conditions that are necessary that will come out of this Halacha Yud. Memala Isha Kedera Basar, a woman can fill a pot with meat, let's say she's cooking, making boiled chicken, whatever, and she's putting a full pot of chicken on the thing. And the commentators say the reason you could do this, even though it's much more chicken than you need, clearly she knows it's more chicken you need, but the point is, for those gourmets out there, meat is tastier when many, many pieces are cooked together at the same time. That's what they say. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what the
kids. You could say you're in a company too, right? You make more because
we're saying there isn't any.
Forget about that. Even if you know you're not going to have to eat, you're not going to eat all these pieces. Let's say, you know, the most we could eat, let's say it's just a man and a woman, husband and wife, how much chicken they're going to eat, right? For this, let's say one day Yom Tov, right? Neretz Yisrael. Going to eat four pieces of chicken, five, six, okay? So you can make 20 pieces in the same pot. Can't make seven pots of chicken. But in one pot, you know why? Because if I put 20 pieces of chicken in this pot, the six that I'm going to eat will taste better. That's the rule. Again, I'm not the gourmet, but assuming that that's so, that means I'm making it excessive so that what I will eat will taste very good. And that is allowed. Even though you only need one piece. Let's say it's one piece. Old ladies only eat one piece. Let's say it's the afternoon array. It's the last meal of the day. So she's entitled to cook for a meal. The last meal. She's going to put 20 pieces in. Why? Because when the pot's full, this one piece is going to be an amazing piece. That's not called doing for after, even though she may very well use the rest after Yom Tov, but it's primarily so that it's legitimately making the one piece taste better, then you could do that.
If you're going to do something like that, should you really have that in mind? That's why.
Well, that's the
it?
Only reason why you're allowed to do it.
Right.
Why else
but
would
I mean,
you do it unless you really want the chicken
I'm just
to taste
saying people
good.
May not realize that, but I mean,
well,
once they just say, well, I'm cooking extra. But if you have in mind that...
Yeah, it has to only be in mind. That's right. The point. Also, Mamali Nachtom Chavi Shomayim, a baker, can fill up a big pot of water, even though he only needs the amount of one pitcher, he can fill a big pot of water. Now, this is a second point we have over here for making large quantities, where it's not extra work in preparing the large quantity as compared to the small quantity. If I can make, if it's no extra effort to make more than less, then I can make more. And here, I guess, you know, he's got a big pitcher anyway. So instead of pouring a little bit of water into the pot, I pour the whole thing in, so it takes another 2 seconds. right? For me to boil up a big pot of water or a small pot of water, it's the same. It's not much. It's not extra work. So there's no extra work involved. You can do this, even though you only need the one thing. So it comes out. But on the other one, let's say the water is already boiling, or you're putting the boil, you couldn't add more water. You could make a second trip to the well and put more. So it's one of the two. Either you could make more if the additional making will make the food taste better, or there's no extra effort in making that extra amount. Then you could do this. And therefore the same thing, umamala isha taner pas. A woman can fill a whole oven. In those days, the ovens, they put the bread right on the wall of the oven. They didn't have racks. So you can fill the whole oven with lots of challah. She only needs one. Why? Because when there's more challah in the stove, each challah bakes better.
It's like the meat in the
because there's less air. There's less air, so it's hotter, whatever, and it bakes better. So therefore you can do that too. And as well, you could salt many pieces of meat with one shot. Because when you're just throwing on the salt, with one throw, I could throw it over one piece, I could throw it over five pieces, not any extra effort. Even though you only need one piece, anything similar to that. In other words, as long as it isn't, it's either it improves my making more because it improves the quality of food, or it's not any more effort, then it's permitted. Okay, Yud Aleph, continuing this idea. Hamavashal, oha oifa bi yontif v'deilachabal yom, if a person is cooking or baking on yontif to eat on that day, osha zimen orchin, or let's say you invited guests, and what happened? V'lo bo, and they didn't come. V'nisha hatav shul vapas, and you got lots of leftovers, unexpected leftovers. Hareze muto lechol lemochar, you could eat it tomorrow on a week, whether bein b'chol, regardless tomorrow's a weekday, bein b'shabbos, whether tomorrow is a Shabbos, that's okay. But don't try to make any fancy tricks over here. Don't try to be a trickster over here. In other words, really, you're not allowed to bake from Yontif to a weekday, right? You can't even bake on Yontif for Shabbos if you don't make an Erev Tavshilin, right? But here, I baked it for today. I really wanted to, the guests didn't show up. I have a lot of extras. That's fine. But don't make any tricks.
So you can't
meaning to say, he shouldn't say, well, he knows he's not going to have any guests.
Right.
And he says, you know what? Let's say it's like this. Let's say the yontif is a Thursday. And then there's Friday. So the lady's smart. She's going to say, listen, it's Thursday. Okay, I really only need 3 pieces of chicken. Oh, I'm going to invite a lot of guests. I'm making 10 pieces of chicken. She knows she doesn't have any guests, right? But why is she doing that? Because then she'll have Friday cooked for Shabbos. So she won't have to cook for Shabbos afterwards. Nothing doing. You can't make any tricks. Now again, only Hashem and you will know this, obviously. Bimheriman, if she does a trick, usur, you're not allowed to eat that meat. It's prohibited to do that. It's prohibited to do that. Va'afil b'shabbos shachar yontif, even for the Shabbos after yontif, you might cook for Shabbos. We'll come at Shabbos, but you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Can't. Because we were much more stringent with a fooler than an intentional guy.
Right.
In other words, when a guy does it intentionally, says, I know I'm not allowed to do it, so I know I'm a Russia, so fine. So we're not going to learn from that guy. We're going to say, he's a Russia, he's a Sheikh, it's, you know, that's a bad guy. And you know what, if he knows he's doing something wrong, maybe he's going to do tshuva. But if the guy is fooling himself, then he thinks it's okay. And this is what I have to do tshuva. And other people will think it's okay. Therefore, the rabbis find him, as it were, and then they say, therefore, you can't use that food afterwards. You're not allowed to use it. Okay, we'll stop over here. So next time we learn Rambam will be next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because we have Tisha B'Av and all those things
today
coming up. So we'll resume on Halacha Yud Beis.
Is that going to be our last class?
No, then we're going to the next week. Another week.